Blog Talk Radio. You're listening to Autistic Poet Odyssey Meditation with your Autistic Poet, your Director Manager for Autism, for an on Autism Weekend Radio Show, and with your host, Maria Ilium. And today's going to have a special show, and our guest is going to be Brian Burns, who will be coming on and doing some poetry reading and meditation and sharing his story about the Princes of Lake Ronkonkoma, how he started the organization, and the dedication and memory and the loss of Hedy Flickstein, and sharing the story how they met. Now, we're going to start off poem, Maria's poem, Ember Autism. The delicateness of white petals represents our stories. The depth of our emotions, storytell, express thin. Pocket our innocence, the gifts of white roses, holding securely in a mother's hand. Hands within experience touches the heart of soul connected. Develops growth of her autistic child, breathe, embrace autism, be observant, memory of a loving heart. The gift of white roses. The gift of white roses expressing gratitude within greatness. Embrace my wisdom. I am so self, breathing, energy of power. My inner self, petals represents the module steps within deepness of stages, building trust. Origin was college worker, engineered, externally novel, antidote of the sacred heart. Invisible rooms, unique rooms with our brain, more rooms or less, bigger or small, because we all different and that's okay. In my own brain, there's room to withdraw, to be quiet, the sounds confronting. Plenty of places to store the deep thoughts, scary ones, unfinished ideas and talents, room to work on myself and work in progress. Some rooms have music, but others replay the past. There are some filled with light, and others darker than the moon's light. There's even a special place to store the tears we shed to be used later to water dreams so they don't die. A room of remembering, storing the traumas and joys of a single life so we learn instead of blindly forgetting either. We're all on a voyage from here to there, birth to death, sadness to happiness. And the destination isn't as important as what we do along the way with those rooms. Investigator. I am an investigator. Notice my surroundings. Energy shift in emotions, quarrying, quiver, alter, altercations, things unraveling. Be observant, the words flows on river, weeping, rumbling sounds, my eyes sees unusual currents through the lens of anatomy. I am a videographer, photographing my artistry of gifts, investigated journey. The state of peace. Mind floating, bobbing, peaceful, relaxed, soaking the radiance of pure consciousness. Just as we lay on a boat, gently bobbing the waves, taking in the sun, absorbing the substance of life. In this reverse state, the screen is no longer crowded with discretion. Thoughts no longer saturated with too much. The sounds of breath replace the sounds of distraction. Cutting our ties with thinking bring us back to the sources. Out in the world, the calmness surrounds our being. Cutting our ties to the opinions, behaviors, and dramas of others. We find peace, therefore, by focusing within, appreciating what we took for granted, the most essential component of life, breath. Empowerment. Integrating therapeutic alignment, energy, power, the core of my mind, meditating, focusing on visuals, distorted faces, images, distinguished shades of light shines in the horizon, beaming blinding sunlight peering through the window in direct line towards me. Eyes are closed, sensing light, extremely vivid, giving me empowerment. Intuitive mind, okay. Maria's poems as we're waiting for our guest, Brian Burns, to come into the show. Intuitive minds observing, intuitive minds within our own inner soul, so connected with depth of emotions, absorbing the touches of pure heart, entryway of core, balanced body, spirit, trauma, health, and sensory through energy, connected, memorized, of the observer. Gold crowned. Sit down, my children, share your stories of who you are, your proudest moments and achievements. Whisper winds of receptive words, challenge all our voices, stories, life experience, unique. It's time to share and be understood. As the world gathers, collective voice, teach their stories to the world. Time to listen, get their attention with a symbol, gold crown. Join us together, reflecting the golden light of opportunity. Gold crown protects an artistic community, a family with wisdom, courage, and choice. Gold crown, powerful throne of injustice, grabs the attention of all who sees it. Vulnerable yet strong, we present ourselves the spotlight of cameras, meetings, and peons. We will do our best. So that will, as we're waiting for Brian Burns to call in to share his story about the Princess of Lake Ronkonkoma, and the organization he started, and also about how he met Hetty and their ambitions and their the stories, you know, and how their emotions, and dedicate the show to Hetty today of her loss and everything that she did in this world. State of peace, mind floating, bobbing, peace, full, relax, soak in the radiance of pure consciousness, just as we laid on a boat, gently bobbing the waves, taking in the sun, absorbing the substance of life. In this review state, the screen is no longer crowded with description, thoughts are no longer saturated with too much. The sound of breath replaces the sound of the scratching, cutting our ties with thinking, bringing us back to the source. Out in this world, this calmness surrounded us being cutting our ties to the opinions, behaviors, and dramas of others. We found peace, therefore, by focus within appreciating what we took for granted, the most essential component of life, breath. Welcome, Brian, to the show.
Maria, thank you for having me on.
You're welcome. So this is, as we were sharing to our audience is a dedication to Hetty for her
all her work, yes, in the arts and in community activism. It's amazing. She was a force to be reckoned with, and I can't imagine Long Island without her, to tell you the truth.
Yes, and, you know, she helped a lot of artists to showcase their artwork and their photography and stuff like that. Yeah. So it's you know. You there?
I am here. Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
Well, Hetty and I met 22 years ago when a group of us came up with the idea of making a movie about the Princess Ronkonkoma legend of Mike Ronkonkoma. And Hetty said she knew how to raise funds and that with her help we would be able to raise funds to make the movie, and that was how we started out. Of course, it was much more difficult to raise the funds that we needed than any of us could have imagined. And we never actually made the movie. However, we did many cultural and social programs to promote the idea of the movie. And we realized we were very good at that, staging shows, staging events. At first, publicizing the princess story in our effort to make a movie. And then we realized we can do this for other causes too, especially like artists and handicapped rights and handicapped artists. So we started moving more into that. And Hetty started presenting at sometimes 20 art shows a year, most of which she would stage by herself, probably because she didn't let anybody help her. but she did amazingly stage 20 art shows a year for the last, 20 years. So that's just, incredible. Her energy, her drive, her creativity. Also about 18 or 19 years ago, we started having an annual poetry contest. At first dedicated to Princess and then to all subjects. And it's become the longest running and largest poetry event on Long Island. That's still active after all these years. Hetty, her health started to decline about a year ago, which is several cancers, and her health started to deteriorate. She kept fighting. In her life, in the last 20 years, she's fought off 4 different cancers, starting in the 1990s with breast cancer, then she had liver cancer, then she had breast cancer and colon cancer, and her liver cancer was the thing that finally took her out at the end. The last year or so, I would sing the Buddhist prayers to her over the phone, and she loved that. She said it always made her feel better. So I actually heard when she was in the hospital last Sunday night, her daughter, Elise, asked me if I would she said the last thing to go when a person is dying, because they had told them that she only had a very, very short time to live. And Elise said the last thing that goes is the hearing. And she said, I know Hetty would love to hear your voice if you could talk to her. And I said, yes, what I'll do is I'll sing to her, because she always loved the Buddhist prayers, but I would sing them to her over the past year or two. So I did that. And she actually passed while I was praying for her and singing to her.
Yeah, that's a blessing.
Yes. I hope so. I hope that her passing was, easy for her. And that she has a wonderful entry into the next life.
Yeah, Ryan, she connected with you, so it was nice.
Yeah,
grabs on her own. Yes. So it's very interesting, yes. So 2002. So poetry contest has been around more than, 18 years?
18 years, yes. Isn't that amazing?
18, because wasn't it started in 2001?
One or two.
Yes. Yeah, because two, did you have it for the first year? Because 2002 was my first year.
Right, and that's 20 years ago now, yeah. Well, 19 years ago.
Yeah, so my first poetry contest with Princess was 2002.
Yes.
And I think we met in 2001.
Yes,
that's right. We met before, in the spring of.
We started doing stage presentations about the princess and about other aspects of local folklore. We did many shows with Dr. David Ignary, the lifeguard. He would come in and talk about his adventures at the lake and his belief in the princess legend, and we would tell the history of Lake Ronkonkoma. And that was how we started. That was what we started doing around 2001, 2002. And we did many of those over the years. They were very, very successful in the beginning. Sometimes we'd have almost, at one of our biggest events, we had almost 1,000 people. One of our first events with Dave. Yeah. And I know you came to a couple of those.
That's one you had at the library, right?
Exactly.
You had, And then Brian, there was a fire was telling me about you having a poetry contest, and then I
yes,
called
exactly.
Was about the princess, and when I spoke to you on the phone, I asked you to share me the story because I didn't know about the princess.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know how to write poetry then, and then I said, oh, just write it. He encouraged me, write it anyway, so I wrote.
Yes, write in your heart and mind, that's it.
I said, it's only a couple of lines, a few words, I don't know, but no worries, just send it anyway, all right. I submitted anyway, that was the encouragement, and I got honorable
mention. Yes, and you won that year, something. Mm-hmm.
I got honorable mention certificate, that was exciting.
Oh, that was good. Sure.
And then I moved the rest of the year. It's like, how do I put the whole thing into poetry? And I keep coming. And he said, it has to come to you. And finally, in June, it finally came to me. I wrote my first poem called With a Flower.
Yes.
And I submitted that in With a Flower and a few other ones in, too.
Yeah, when we started doing other topics than the princess,
I think my second year I just started other things because I think my first year was the princess thing. And then the second year that I did it was the other different things of poetry. Mm-hmm. So you're talking about 18, 19 years of writing poetry.
Okay. Yep, that's amazing.
Yeah, it's a long journey.
It was a true journey, yes. And you grew so as a poet, it's amazing.
Thank you. Yes,
you became a really talented poet.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Yes, it took a lot of time. You remember when I first started, it's like, wow, I was writing my first year, I wrote like over 20 poems.
Yeah.
When it came.
Mm.
And, so the first, how? And it's like, but there was no one there to teach you how. It has to come. I said, right, yeah, let it come.
Mm-hmm.
And also, after the first poem came, and then another one came. And after a few I wrote, it was just coming to me easier.
They keep coming.
And I was able to write.
That's it. Mm-hmm. Once you open that gate, it keeps open usually.
Definitely. Sometimes, you know, just like when we have different themes, right? And sometimes you write when it comes to you, but then it's like later on you try it again. It's like, wow, it's like that's even more, you know, you can write even more on it because sometimes it takes a couple times, you know, practice to think about how you want to write it. And then you, when you write it or you're writing it, a different poem by the same theme, and it comes out like even more. It either could come out more powering, you know, in the writing. Sometimes that happens too.
Yep.
So maybe get your story. How did you meet Hetty?
I met her at a group of, at a HANDS meeting, actually. Remember HANDS, the handicapped organization?
Yeah.
Originally run by Norman and Miriam, Muriel. I met her at one of their meetings, and we were a bunch of us were talking about the princess legend and also about the Blair Witch Project, which had just come out at that time, was a huge hit, and was based on kind of a fake story. And we were saying, isn't it amazing? Lake Ronkonkoma has this wonderful historical ghost story, and nobody's ever done anything with it. Nobody's ever staged it or made a movie. So that's where the idea was born.
So you and Hetty and a few other people, you got together.
Few other people, yes. Mm-hmm.
And with the project of HANDS, even though you went to the meeting, what connects you to inspire you to go there?
I had heard about it, that it was a wonderful group, an advocacy group for handicapped people, and I wanted to see what it was like. And I met Norman and Muriel, and they were such wonderful human beings. Amazing.
Sounds good.
I loved them immediately, and they were great. And I kept going back to their meetings when I was on Long Island. I had already moved to Pittsburgh in 1999, but I kept coming back as I had a poetry course on Long Island that I loved, and I had a wonderful group of people, so I kept coming back for that about two or three times a month. And then that's how when I was on Long Island, I would stop at Norman and Muriel's meetings and liked them so much that I kept going back many times. And as I say, that's where I met Hetty, and we started talking about the idea of making a movie about Princess.
Yes, and you got a lot of people involved, and she made all the costumes for the princess, for the people.
Yes, she designed all the costumes. We had a wonderful cast put in place. We filmed some scenes that we were doing, and they were absolutely beautiful. We had a wonderful, wonderful cast with Cindy Cologne. Over the years it kind of fell apart. That's the trouble. We couldn't raise some funds to make the movie, and people started drifting apart, you know? We had wonderful Cindy Cologne as Princess, and we had Roger Langan as Hugh Birdsall, and they were great, and a lot of wonderful cast members. And we did actually film a couple of scenes.
Yeah. And do you still have those? Do you still have those?
I have them someplace. Yes, I have to dig that up.
You would like to, and then, and the art show. She has, many menus working with other disabled artists.
Oh, yes, many artists. Countless
and
shows. You couldn't begin it. She did at least 20 art shows a year, which was amazing.
And we also
at different
have
libraries, museums, schools.
She had at libraries, different menus of libraries.
Library halls, yes.
We have an art show twice at the con in Port Jefferson.
Yes, Point Jefferson Arts Center. We were there a couple of times.
Yeah, the first time we were there, we actually had when you walk into the art, where the barn is.
The first gallery, yeah.
Yes.
Then they moved us upstairs later time, too.
No, but the art gallery was upstairs. We did the poetry reading downstairs, and the poems were hanging up in the frames.
Mm-hmm.
Because we had all the seats out for the people to sit down to see the show.
Right, right.
So we did that, and then years later, we had a couple of shows, maybe twice. We had it up in two different times. We had it in upstairs gallery.
On the upstairs gallery,
yes. And we were able to, they actually made us a poster, and I'm one of the artists. My painting was made, the poster, and with
that was
also hanging up. It was had it got like depressed or something, and about what the theme was, landscape theme, or I remember. Do you remember the theme was that she called it? Do you remember the name of the theme?
One was the spirit of Long Island. One was about the relationship between Long Island and New York City and Brooklyn, how the people, you know, pass between the two places. Long Island in Motion, I think.
We also had, we also did a show at an art gallery for disabled up in the school in Smithtown.
Yes.
The front entrance is this gallery, and the back entry is the school for autism school. So I remember that.
And then we also had a wonderful program at the Walt Whitman Center in Huntington.
Share about that.
That was beautiful. Yeah. We had all poets come and read, and it was just an amazing experience. That was probably my favorite event.
That was your favorite event?
Wonderful. Yeah.
Were you there that time?
I was hosting it, yes. I was on stage the whole time, introducing the people, and I got to read my own poetry. Because I had been there many years before with my mom. We had a lovely day there many years before. And they have a beautiful, beautiful stage for poetry, you know. And I said that one of these days, I'm going to be doing a poetry program on that stage.
And
then it came to pass that it did, and I did.
And we also had an event with a couple of artists at the Walt Whitman gallery. You know what?
Yes, the gallery on the grounds where the house is. Yeah.
So, honey, had it there. And like I said, and many different types of venues.
There were many wonderful events over the years, yes.
Also we have an art gallery. We have web design.
Mm.
People go to see it.
Yes.
Isn't that the Artist Guild? Is that the name of it?
Disabled Artist Guild, yes. And that's a website, too.
So, anything else with the story we could share?
As I say, we did many programs about the princess legend. And I don't know if you're familiar with the story. It's about the legend of Tuscawanta, an Indian maiden princess who lived at Lake Ronkonkoma in the 1690s. Her father was the sachem, the medicine man, which sometimes people mistakenly called a chief. But a medicine man is not a chief. He's just like the spiritual leader of a tribe. And her father was the medicine man. And an Englishman came to chart maps of Long Island, and he was given permission by the tribe to chart the land in the area, to make maps. And he met, Princess met Hugh Birdsall. They fell deeply in love, and they had a wonderful, passionate love affair for several years. Some legends say that she actually had a baby by Hugh Birdsall. But there was a lot of strife in the later years between European settlers and the Indians, and there were many raids on each side with a lot of killing. And some settlers raided an Indian camp where the baby was, and the baby was killed.
Yeah,
after that, Birdsall was called back to England, and kind of surprisingly, he did leave and go back. She was kind of put out by her, you know, she was put out of the tribe for her behavior with Birdsall, and so she eventually killed herself in Lake Ronkonkoma by drowning, her wrist in drowning.
Well,
so
she was
the
not
legend
allowed.
Is that her ghost. What's that?
Not allowed to be. Oh, she was not allowed to be on the Indian grounds anymore.
No, that's it. She was thrown out of her tribe, her clan.
Why? Because she was in love with Universal.
Because she had the affair with Birdsall, yes.
And the father did not want, will not allow her to be with him.
Right. Right. So she does kill herself in the story, and the legend is that she haunts the lake for the last almost 300 years. Now, the legend is that a young man drowns every year in the lake, and the superstition arose that it's the princess trying to replace her lost love, Hugh Birdsall. I'm not sure if I completely believe that aspect of the legend. A more positive legend is that she tries to warn people who may drown in the lake. And that's why she often appears to these people who drowned sometime before they actually drowned. There are many cases of that recorded.
She let the lifeguards know that it was going to happen, or who will she let know?
The people, the person that's going to drown. There are many reports that she'll appear to them sometime before they actually drowned to warn them. Or the other version is that she's taking them down to replace Hugh Birdsall. So there are two aspects to the legend. One is more positive, one is more negative.
And which one you believe? Which one it takes to your heart?
I kind of believe that she's warning people. She was not a killer in life. She was kind and loving in life, so I don't see her, you know, killing people after death. I think she's trying to warn them. She appears to people to warn them to be careful in the lake, because the lake is very treacherous. Now, my friend Dave Ignary, the lifeguard that I mentioned before, he believes the other legend, that she actually is a dangerous spirit pulled down. So, as I say, people have their different interpretations of the story.
I think that sounds like you said, you probably knows that they're going to have a challenge in the deep waters, and she wants to let them know.
Yep. So that was what we wanted to base the film on. And that's what we did many, many programs about, promoting this legend, trying to raise interest, trying to raise funds. So it was the beginning of a very long journey. I always say it was the start of a wonderful, endless nightmare. But it was a lot of work, but it was a lot of interesting stuff, and it was a lot of fun.
especially in the beginning. It was a lot of fun, and we were doing a lot of interesting, exciting things and putting on wonderful shows. And that was where we got the idea that we could put on the other presentations about other topics. And Hetty wanted to do art shows for art, handicapped artists and all artists. So she started doing that aspect of the company, putting on the art shows. I was primarily interested in the poetry, so I was involved more in the poetry contest.
Yeah. That sounds good.
Which we're hoping to keep going.
And we're gonna are the princess going to continue doing art shows in her and Hetty's legacy?
We're not sure. Her daughter Helise has said that she would like to keep Hetty's legacy of the art shows going if she possibly can. So we're looking into if Helise can take it on, or if she will get people to help her do it. We are probably going to continue the poetry on a different level, but we hope it will continue.
And what level are we going to be doing that?
That's what we're working out. But it will continue. Yeah, we're working out the details of that, but it will continue in some form.
Do I do meditation?
Yes. As I mentioned before, when Hetty was sick for the past year, I often chanted the prayers for her, which she loved and gave her a lot of comfort. Matter of fact, when she passed, I was on the phone with her chanting for her because they had told Helise and the family that she would be going very, very soon. And Helise said to me, they say that the hearing is the last thing to go. Would I be able to talk to Hetty and say a few words? I said, of course. Not only will I do that, I'll sing her a chant because she always loved that. So, and she passed while I was chanting, which I hope gave her a more peaceful death. So I might do that chant now if you'd like.
If you'd like.
Yeah, sounds good.
Okay. It's a Avalokiteshvara. It's dedicated to the B'name means the avatar who steps down to help on hearing the cries of the world. And that's Avalokiteshvara. 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 Thank you.
Welcome. You have another meditation you want to do?
Sure. Well, I'll do another chant first, then we'll do a meditation. She also liked Om Mani Padme Hum. So I'll do a few bars of that. Om Mani Padme Hum. Om Mani Padme Hum. Om Mani Padme Hum. mane pame om. Om 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 mane pame om.
That's very good. Okay. You have some poems you like to read
I've read this at services for other people. It's one of my favorites, my own poems. Being Buddha. There is only one thing that you really need to know. And only one thing that I have any need to tell you. And it is this. You are Buddha. You were Buddha long before you were born into this life. And you will still be Buddha long after this life is finished. But more than that, more than anything else, you must be Buddha right now, right here, right in this very moment. When you were faced with the suffering beings, you will have the courage and compassion of a Buddha for them. Even if you are harmed, abused, persecuted, through it all, you will know that you are Buddha. And if someday you must see someone you love suffer and die, you will be their Buddha in the moment of their suffering. And when you do love, you will love with the love of a Buddha, gratefully, joyfully, without self. Then when you look at the world, the animals, the people, the trees, the sun, the moon, and the seas, you will know that they are all Buddha with you, and you will feel a great peace beyond all reason. You are Buddha. I know this to be the truth. In my heart and in veneration, I do prostrate at your feet.
Sounds good.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Yeah.
I'd like to do a short version of a meditation called Zen Breathing. And it's really about the nature of life and the nature of death and how they're all interconnected. So I'm going to suggest that you sit quietly and breathe slowly. And when you breathe in, you are born. And you breathe in the whole world without fear, without hesitation, in a state of total generosity, spaciousness, and equanimity. Then, when the lungs are gently filled to the top, you abide there for a few moments. And that's our life. Beautiful and brief, and we hold on to it dearly. Then, relaxed and ready, we exhale. And when we exhale, we touch death. And we give away everything we took in the in-breath, the whole world. And in the exact same spirit of freedom, fearlessness, generosity, and spaciousness. Then when the lungs are gently emptied to the base, we abide there for a few moments too, as long as it's comfortable. And that's where we get to touch the ground of emptiness itself, from which all things arise and to which all things return, where there is no self, no other, and all things interdepend, interbe, and interpenetrate. And we come to understand the truth of non-duality. Then when we're relaxed and ready, we breathe in again and start the process over. Normally we would sit this for about 5 or 10 minutes, but I'll abbreviate it a little bit. And realize that in every moment we are born. In every moment we touch death. In every moment we are infinite. This practice comes from the tradition of Zen Master Thich Nhat Hanh, who says that when we learn to breathe in this mindful way, we are learning to breathe like a Buddha. By the Buddha's teachings in the Heart Sutra and the Dhammapada, so we'll sing the prayer Gate Gate from the Heart Sutra 3 times in Sanskrit and once in English. Gate, gate, paragate, parasamgate, bodhisva, gate, gate, paragate, parasamgate, bodhisva, gate, gate, paragate, parasamgate, bodhisva, gun, gun, totally gone to the other shore to enlightenment.
That is very powerful.
Oh, thank you, Maria.
You're welcome. You know, we start. Yes.
What's that? Go ahead.
When back in 2002, the poetry event, we did the award ceremony,
mm-hmm.
was taking place in Barnes and Noble in Huntington. They had a little stage there. They had a small stage.
Mm-hmm.
And then. I think the second year that when I came there, I started taking pictures, and then I think that's when I became the photographer for Francis Valcancamo production.
Yep.
And I remember that. So I'm sorry. I started thinking. Much for telling Hetty's story, and I helped Hetty a lot. After a couple of years that she connected, she just said after 2 years, been going there 3 years, that's when she connected.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I thought of something, thinking how can we put. And I still got to finish it, but I have like a ground. I start like a little poem, and this is what I have here to show you, and then I'll finish it.
Mm-hmm.
In a memory of soul of light, the brave, the means of strong spirit, the ruffle, the struggles through sickness and health in a black hole of despair.
Good.
You like it?
Yeah. Very good.
I think that should be that it's a small poem.
Mm-hmm.
I think.
Yeah, maybe. is a wonderful line from the Jewish funeral service that I've always loved. It goes, "It's over, it's finished, it's done. It was wonderful in those of us."
That's right, because the add more becomes a different poem.
Exactly.
That's right. It says it all. So sickness and health in a buckle just there.
Yep.
That's true. And I can end it with the prayers, the meditation and chanting leads us to the light to our Lord.
Mm.
You like to let that off it.
Yes. That's good.
Something like that. I just was saying, maybe what bring up?
Sending Eddie our prayers and thoughts that she has a wonderful experience in the next life.
25 years of 4 different
cancers. She was such a fighter, yes.
And 4 different cancers in 25 years
is
the different therapies that she went through.
Yeah.
It takes him a stronger, very strong and dedicating the mind to help all the right ways or hurdles, you know?
Of course.
But she should, she look upon us in heaven and think she tears set on your shoulders. Sitting on your shoulders, be smart, happy that her memory from life was
that her memory will continue. Yes.
Being what poems do you have you like to read?
Another chant. I want to do another chant that she liked, which was the Medicine Buddha.
I see that one.
And you can do that for people who have just passed too, that they have a happy rebirth, a happy street to the next life.
Okay.
Tayato Mbekenzi Bekenzi Maha Bekenzi Raza Sumagate Suha Tayata Om Bekenzi Bekenzi Maha Bekenzi Raza Sumagate Suha Tayata Om Bekenzi Bekenzi Maha Bekenzi Raza Sumagate Suha Tayata Om Bekenzi Bekenzi Maha Bekenzi Raza Sumagate Suha Tayata Om Bekenzi Bekenzi Maha Bekenzi Raza Sumagate Suha Tayata Om Bekenzi Bekenzi Maha Bekenzi Raza Sumagate Suha Tayata Om Bekenzi Bekenzi Maha Bekenzi Raza Sumagate Suha Tayata Om Bekenzi, Bekenzi, Maha Bekenzi, Raza Sumagati, Suha.
That's beautiful.
Thank you. Thanks, Maria.
It's 12 o'clock.
Thank you for having me on tonight.
You're welcome.
It was wonderful. I think we did a nice job for Hattie. I think she liked it.
Yes,
I do. I think she should be. I think that Hetty would be very, very happy and smile upon us.
Yes. I think so, too.
Do you have a poem?
Not really. I don't have anything ready.
I read some poems in the beginning.
Terrific. If you have a couple more, that'd be great.
Yeah, I believe this one's called Empowerment. Integrated therapeutic alignment, energy, power in the corner of my mind, meditating. Focus on vigils, distorted faces, images, dwindling shadows of light, trying to memorize it. Beaming blinding sunlight appearing through the window in direct line towards me, eyes are closed, sensing light, extremely vivid, giving me empowerment.
Very good.
You're welcome. And then we have another, this one is called The Gift of White Roses. The Gift of White Roses. Expressing gratitude with goodness, and both wisdom, I am so soft, free, breathing, energy of power. My inner self, petals represents module steps within deepness of stages, fields and troughs. Arguing with a college worker initiating extraordinary novel, the antidote of a secret heart, the narrator of a professor.
Very good.
And then I think it's very good. Just as we said, she's overcame a lot of health issues through her life.
A lot of trials, a lot of tribulations. She always came through.
Yes, she was a young girl.
Yes. When she was a young girl, about 9 years old, she was in a coma for about 6 months.
6 months.
And while she was in that coma, she said she could roam all over the hospital in spirit. She saw everything that was going on. She knew who came to see her. She saw everything that went on.
That's interesting. It's more power beyond the, beyond our wisdom, beyond an understanding, because 6 months in a coma, and she's walking up by after the prayer was finished. And even though she never really shared it, and like you said, she knew who came in the room.
Yeah,
that's something. Hopefully,
the little girl in the next bed. The little girl in the next bed passed away, and she saw the priest come in and give her last rites, and the mother and father being so upset. And Hetty's mother and father were there too. And even though they were Jewish, the mother said to the priest, "Maybe you can pray for my daughter too." And the priest prayed for Hetty. And Hetty saw all of that. And when she mentioned to the mother years later, the mother said, "Oh, you can't possibly have seen any of that. You were in a coma." But she saw and heard everything.
Yes, it's beyond an understanding. It's beyond education. It's definitely beyond education. Because it's something that it needs to be taken light to. Because... in the medical industry, because they think they tell you you're not going to, and they'll tell you all the stories, but people believe it because doctors are saying that. But Penny is an inspirational to show you that she was in a coma for 6 months, and she opened the door. Prayers for all the young children on the same and before they passed away, and when they did her prayer, and I think one of the messages of it to share her story, to share her life, because
yes,
not
a lot of people don't understand it. If one day, 2 days, and they're taking off. No, it's headache says you have is you can you need time. You need time to process.
Sure.
When you are not feeling well, you're sick. Even if you're in a coma.
Sure, you're still there. Even if you're in a coma, you're still there and you can hear everything.
You hear everything and you just, you process the what happened to you. Yeah. There are also a lot of cases, too. There were a few cases that people survived even years after 6 years was in a coma and they came to life.
Sure.
As they got therapy for their son, and after that, he was able to type what happened. He actually knew what his mom said.
Sure.
And the mom couldn't believe, that's how powerful it is.
Mm.
You know, it's powerful.
It's true.
Maybe that's something that could be a word of teaching to the teacher doctors and to teach more about the comas and how people are actually living through comas and actually people they need to learn more about it.
Yep.
So, what else would you like to express before we end the show?
Just want to thank Eddie for our friendship, all the wonderful conversations we had about the X-Files. We both love the X-Files. We had many fun conversations that nobody at night at 3 in the morning. She'd call me at 3 in the morning and we'd talk about the X-Files. So I miss that.
In the morning, Brian.
Yes.
You do that every day, 3 in the morning with her?
Often, yes. Maybe not every night, but a lot of times. She would call me from 3 to 5 times a day, every day. I say we both love the X-Files, so it was fun talking about that. And politics and spirituality and stuff like that. So we had many nice conversations, and I'll miss that. And I want to thank her for that. I thank her for being a force to be reckoned with in my life, yes.
And
we wish her every happiness and every joy in the next life.
Yes. She is a survivor of 25 years. More than that, because you figured she's 75 now, and she was, I think, 6 years old.
Mm.
Right? How old? 6 years old when she was in a coma for 6 months?
I think she was 9. I'm not sure.
Okay.
I think she was about 8 or 9.
6 months old, and she was 9 years old. That's 6 months old. 6 months.
Mm.
6 months in a coma at the age of 9.
Mm-hmm.
9 to 5, you're talking about 10. You're talking about 64 years. Is that 64 years?
Yeah, about that.
9, 75, and 9.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll make it 64.
Yep.
I'll make it 64 years.
Yep.
A long journey.
And she came back from that. And she came back from so many illnesses, and she was, and it's an incredible force.
Yes. And then the lungs, remember? And her spinal.
And then
Amber, remember the medical doctor said something to her that when they saw her x-rays, they were like, believe it, they couldn't believe
that she survived.
That how she survived what they saw on her x-rays. That's
sure.
how. Yeah, that's how interesting, right? Even they were talking among them. And he was saying, they were talking among themselves.
Right,
she used to have a
right.
high that. And I'm like, oh, they come here. Mm-hmm. Come here, those guys. See this x-ray? I was like,
right.
I was like, the talk. That was, Yeah, because her lungs, the spinal cord was crossed in her lungs, and she was having difficult challenge of breathing.
Yeah.
And then,
yeah.
Oh, my.
Amazing.
Yes, I know.
So, Maria, do you have another poem you'd like to end with?
Yeah, me, Steve. And how about we end up with invisible rooms? Because invisible rooms could be about many different things. So.
Yes.
Invisible rooms, unique rooms within our brains, more rooms or less, bigger or smaller, because we're all different and that's okay. In my own brain, there's room to withdraw, to be quiet, to sound competent. Plenty of places to store deep thoughts, scary ones, and unfinished ideas and talents. Room to work on myself, a work in progress. Some rooms have music, while others replace the past. There are some filled with light and others darker than a moonless night. There are even a special place to store the tears we share to be used later to water our dreams so they don't die. A room to remembrance, storing the traumas and joys of a single life so we learn instead of blindly forgetting either. We're all on a voyage from here to there, birth to death, sadness to happiness, and the destination isn't as important as what we do along the way with those rooms. I thought that would be a nice poem to end it.
That's perfect. Oh, it's a gorgeous poem, and it's perfect for tonight. Thank you.
Thank you very much for coming on.
Thanks for having me. It was a wonderful show. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome. Have a good night, Brian.
Oh, you too, darling. Thank you. Take care.
You too. Bye. Welcome, John.
Hi, am I on the radio show?
Yeah. Welcome, John.
Hi.
Welcome,
yeah. Am I on the show?
Yes. So, John, you like to share your story, how you met Hetty?
Yeah, I would, definitely. Yeah, Hetty, I met her through my friend Maria, who introduced me to the show. I met her, she used to come, hold on a second. Are you still there?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, she used to come on, or she used to go, you know, whenever Maria would have an event that, you know, where she lives, we call it the Hall in West Babylon. In New York, we'd have events there, like maybe a couple of times a year, maybe poetry readings, and she would help out with that. And I got to know her, and I started to help her out with, you know, help out Hetty. She used to run the Princess Von Kockamer Productions, so I helped her out to set things up, to bring stuff over to the place. And, I got to do it for at least a couple of years, and, you know, it was fun. It was really neat going there. And then one year I actually entered in my own contest. They had it was called Prose, where you have to write a short story, 500 words or less, on titles that they give you. And it was called It Fell from the Sky. So, I took that and I made a short story out of it. And it was about 3 years ago I answered it. And I did win. I won fourth place. I mean, I did win something. And, you know, Hedy definitely helped inspire me to do that. I mean, it was really cool. You know, I wrote a story about, you know, I took the title, It Fell from the Sky, and I kind of gave it a twist. You know, it takes place, like, on a very strange alien planet, this story, and these people in a spacecraft come down from the sky. And at the same time they're coming down, this really strange yellow powder starts floating down from the sky, too. So I use that as the beginning of my story. And these people will land on this very alien planet. It's very, you know, pretty much lifeless. And it's like a barren desert. And, you know, there's ruins of an ancient civilization around in the area. You know, there's like ruins in some ancient buildings. The sky is like a very alien, like yellowish color, and there's even an ocean that's got like, you know, the ocean looks very yellowish, you know, it looks like a fish yellow color. So it looks like a very not so nice place to be on, wherever this strange planet is. And these people come out of the ship, and they're in spacesuits, and they're monitoring the temperature on this planet. And the first person says the temperature is 163 degrees Fahrenheit. And they're like, yeah, well, it's definitely, thank God we're in spacesuits. We couldn't survive in this type of planet. And then the temperature drops to 150 degrees. And all of a sudden, this really strange yellow powder starts floating down from the sky. And it's a very fine yellow powder. And it coats everything in a very, very, like, mustard yellowish color. And the ground has this, like, mustard yellowish color, you know, where it was just brown, you know, brown soil, brown alien, like, soil that's lifeless. And, the people remarked that it was a yellow front that came through, you know, and, you know, like, nobody, you know, of course, no one's supposed to know what that is yet, but at the end of the story, I reveal that this very strange planet that these people are on is planet Earth. You know, it's a runaway global warming greenhouse planet, and these people on the spacecraft, the humans coming down from Mars or from some other place that's habitable, like from a space colony, and they're trying to determine, like, if, you know, if the Earth is habitable in any region at all. And it was like a Twilight Zone story, and the fine yellow powder coming down from the sky is actually sulfur powder. Like, everything that had lived on the Earth, for the most part, had died. And when bodies, when human or when animal, any kind of organic matter decomposes, it's composed of sulfur. At 163 degrees Fahrenheit, sulfur, like, evaporates into the atmosphere. And then when the temperature gets below that, it solidifies. It goes from a gas to a solid. So, you know, basically, you know, the yellowish color all around is like sulfur, you know, so it's a really eerie Twilight Zone story, you know, just kind of like, you know, maybe giving an idea what, like, global warming could be like, you know, that a planet could really be not inhabitable at all. So, you know, I was really cool. Like, I won fourth place, and Hedy kind of helped inspire me to write that story. And, you know, we had, you know, I hung out with her. We had good times. I mean, we went out to movies. We would go out to eat sometimes or just drive around. She lived in Coram, and we would drive around, like, that Coram, Port Jefferson. And, you know, I used to see her, and, you know, we'd hang out and stuff and talk and everything, and, you know, it was really good to know her. I mean, she was really good company. It's just a shame that when the pandemic hit, you know, I pretty much had to stop seeing people because it got really bad. And, you know, Hedy, you know, she was in her 70s, so obviously I didn't want to take any chances, like, I didn't, you know, want to give her COVID or something. So, like, you know, for the last year and a half, you know, I've been kind of like living in hibernation. And, you know, yeah, I had thought now that things are starting to come back to normal and I'm vaccinated, I did want to try to see her again. But then I found out, you know, unfortunately, that she was very sick and she was, you know, probably going to, you know, she was passing away. and I really wanted to see her, but I didn't get a chance to. I mean, she passed away within only a couple of days after I found out she was sick. And I, you know, I went to her funeral. I mean, it was very sad. I mean, you know, she was a good friend. I mean, I'll definitely miss her. I mean, she inspired me to be creative. You know, I mean, that I really, you know, I'm very grateful for. You know, like, I have Asperger's syndrome. I tend to be very shy, and I really tend to keep to myself. And, like, you know, I guess I have a hard time expressing my creativity because I don't know, like, if people are going to really be okay with it. You know, I have, you know, like, in this prose poetry, you know, contest, you know, I felt free to kind of, like, express my opinions and not be judged for them or, you know. And, you know, it was definitely a very positive experience. You know, I mean, I'm glad I was able to meet her and, you know, and I helped her out with setting stuff up. You know, I would help her out with getting stuff kind of, like, organized in her storage unit down in Bayport or I forget the name of the town. I want to say Bayport or one of those towns. But, yeah, you know, it was really, really good knowing her. You know, it's a shame. Oh, yeah, Blue Point, that's the name of the town. It was right on the tip of my tongue. you know, it was really nice to knowing her, you know. I mean, I'll definitely miss those times. You know, I had good times with her, you know. I mean, you just don't know, you know. And I regret maybe during the pandemic I didn't really keep in touch. I did call her a couple of times. But, you know, I guess I, you know, kind of just assumed that things at some point would go back to normal. Like, I didn't know she had cancer for a very long time, and she always managed to beat it. But, you know, she had it for like 25 years. So, you know, I guess this time, you know, she couldn't fight it off, but she fought it for a long time. You know, so, I forget her last name again, Flickstein, yeah. Hetty Flickstein, yeah, I mean, rest in peace. I'm really, you know, I'm really glad that I did get to meet you and I got to know you. And you definitely inspired me, you know, to be myself, you know, to have more confidence in myself, you know, to be a better person, you know. And we used to talk a lot, and I told her about, you know, a lot of the stuff that I had done and everything. And, you know, she was always like an inspiration, you know, so... I miss that. So, you know, yeah. Rest in peace, yeah. And, you know.
A wonderful friend.
God bless you. Amen. So, Maria, is there anything else you want to say?
Yeah. You know, she came to my group. And we did a, into my autism group at the Autism College. We had the lifeguard, the author of the lifeguard story. Remember that, John?
What's it called?
The author came to speak out about his story that he wrote in the book about his experience as a lifeguard.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember I met that guy, and he remembered me from when I was a little kid. He used to be this guy that was at Maria's, one of her meetings. He worked for many, many years as a lifeguard at Lake Ronkonkoma, New York. And he worked there from his teens, I think, all the way probably up into his, like 50s or 60s. He did it for a very long time. You know, that was like a summer job for him. He worked for the town of Islip at Lake Ronkonkoma. And he kept himself in very good physical shape. I mean, he did it I know he did it even into his, like, I guess to his middle-aged years, you know, maybe, you know, there for a very long time. So he was in very good shape. And we, when I met him, I think maybe he had just recently retired from being a lifeguard. I mean, he was in his, like, late 60s, but he was still, he was very physically fit, you know, he was, like, built, you know, probably he had the physique of, like, a 40-year-old. I mean, this guy was very fit. And he worked all those years at Lake Ronkonkoma, probably from, like, the 1970s to, like, the 2010s for a long time. And I was, I think I was 11 years old. I was with my family at Lake Ronkonkoma. And I went into the water, and this was, like, the summer of 1980. I want to say it was, like, August of 1980. I went into the water, and, of course, you know, it was not, it was polluted. I stepped on a broken beer can, and my foot was bleeding, you know, and, like, it was pretty bad. And this guy came, and he helped me out. I mean, I didn't really get too far into the water, so it's not like he had to drag me out of the water, but, like, yeah, I needed help. I mean, you know, he helped me out, and, you know, I guess he bandaged it up and everything. I mean, I didn't need stitches, but, you know, and I think I did get a tetanus shot afterwards, but, you know, I went to the hospital and had it checked out and everything, and I guess they probably gave that to me to be safe. But, yeah, he helped me out, and, you know, and like, he remembered me from all the way back then. I was like, wow, that's something. And when I met him, I was in, like, my late 40s, you know, so he remembered me from when I was 11 years old. And when I was 11 years old, of course, I was a, you know, a young kid, and I was pretty physically fit. I played PAL football, so I was in, you know, I was a healthy weight for an 11-year-old. I probably weighed, I was about 5 foot tall. I weighed like 100 pounds. I was pretty solid. You know, and now as an adult, I was like 5 foot 10 and like 340 pounds or whatever. Definitely very overweight. You know, I don't, and bald. So, well, you know, I'm surprised that he still recognized me. You know, like I look totally different. Don't look anything like I used to look when I was like a kid. So, you know, yeah, that was really neat meeting him, you know. And, yeah, I mean, hopefully I see him around again. I mean, you know, hopefully things are starting to get back to normal. And, you know, I think Maria will have more gatherings at her hall.
Yeah, and, Henny came in cup a few, came, you know, that one time to do the, you know, like I said, the interview. And you know, my group, when I did poetry, that's what I did. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I organized. So, you know. And Henny organized, you know, for the one, for the person. Anything else you'd like to share? Yeah, she was a good friend to you. You helped her, and you were a good friend to her.
You know, like, I've known Maria now for more than 10 years, and you know, I've gotten to meet other people through her, you know, other friends, and, you know, it's, you know, I'm glad I've gotten to know Maria, you know. I've met a lot of other people that have Asperger's, like me, and, yeah, we all have our specialized interests, you know, and that's what makes us very unique. And, you know, my interest happens to be, like, weather. I'm really into weather. I mean, I'm into science and stuff, you know, like, I'm into that, science and math. And, yeah, you know, some things, you know, there are definitely things that, you know, I might be into that make me unique. And, you know, I'm glad I found a group that I could fit into that, you know, I mean, I guess, you know, growing up, I mean, you know, I've had friends, you know, before I was diagnosed with Asperger's. I mean, you know, I had friends, it's not like I didn't have friends, but sometimes, you know, I felt a lot more pressure that I had to keep fitting in. I mean, it was rare, you know, I guess there have been people, too, that I've met that I felt more at ease with, that I fit in with better. But, you know, these people typically would, you know, they would, you know, eventually they'd get married and they'd have their own life. So, you know, it was hard, really, you know, not being married, being single and growing older, you know, you know, on your own, you just don't really meet, you know, there comes a time where, you know, it's a lot harder to meet people because like most people are like that are my age are married. And, you know, it gets harder, you know. I mean, and, you know, I guess people just have very different interests, you know, and a lot of things make us different. You know, and even when it comes to, like, even subjects that are hard to talk about, like religion or politics, I just have a sense that I see things a lot differently than most people. I mean, I just don't see things the way a lot of people see things.
What are some of the things that you helped Teddy with?
That what?
What are some of the things how you helped Teddy, what you did for her?
Yeah, I got done saying, like, I helped her out with setting up for her, you know, Princess von Conqueror, like the contest. She would go like twice a year. There would be like an event, or you know, they'd have like a poetry reading, and I'd help her like gather prizes and like all the refreshments or some of the refreshments that you know were at the meeting,
yeah.
And just like help her set things up, help her take things down after the meeting, you know, and I'd help out, you know, and then I got into the poetry, I got into the prose contest, you know, myself. So, you know, that's what I mostly did with her. And then the other times we'd hang out, a couple of times we went to see a movie. But I think the last movie I ever saw with her was that movie Crazy Rich Asians. That was like a couple of years ago. I think that was like the spring of 2019. So I remember that was the last movie we saw. At the Quorum, I think it was the Quorum Multiplex.
Sounds good. And how many years have you been helping?
What?
How many years? 3 years? 5 years?
I knew Hetty. I guess I knew her pretty well for about 5 years. From probably like 2016 was when I started helping her out with events. And, I mean, I knew her before that, you know, because I would see her, you know, whenever Marie would have like a get-together. But I guess I started to kind of help her out and stuff. Like 2016 was probably when I started helping her out with things. So I knew her pretty well for about 5 years.
It's a long time.
And, you know, she pretty much, you know, I guess she didn't really, I don't know if she really saw her family that often. I mean, mostly she was involved, she lived by herself, but she mostly was involved with Princess von Conqueror Productions. That's pretty much what she did. So she had a lot of close friends and, you know, in that group. But...
yeah, sounds good, John.
Yeah.
You want to say a prayer?
Yeah, I definitely want to pray for Hetty. You know, she lived a good life. I mean, she definitely inspired a lot of people. You know, I definitely pray that, you know, she is in heaven. You know, I'm sure she is. And, you know, pray that, you know, she has peace. You know, she really was fighting cancer for a long time. And hopefully where she is, you know, where she's not fighting that, she doesn't have to fight that anymore.
Yep.
And, you know, I pray that someday that, you know, that I'll see her again in heaven. Amen.
Yes. Very good, John.
So, yeah, I guess, I'm glad I got to speak on the radio show. Thank you. I mean, I am going to get going because I do got to get up tomorrow morning for work.
All right, sounds good, John. We'll talk soon.
Okay. Take care.
Have a good, you're welcome. Have a good night.
Good night.
Yeah. Winter surprise. Wintry surprise. Snow in footage of snow. Snowflakes falling upon twig or branches. Poetic scenes of nature. Snowflakes blowing through gusty winds. Echoing the howling sounds. Appearing a friend upon the door. Angel healing. There we are. For winds. It's all how you choose to see it. Disabled, gifted, able. In some ways, maybe. I'm going to read one more poem, Courage Through the Winds. Unique forms of the winds intensify, moving quickly in a circle of motion, looping around the body, rapidly turning like confusion, creating a luminous sky of darkness inside, tapping my nervous system, tiring, mind overwhelming by emotions, running wild just as fierce winds, scattered leaves and twigs of current, pathway into my hidden self. Grammar clerics worried to return like a anonymous wind. Carry upon my toes like a dead body weighing me down. Dispersive winds echo my own cries, stirring each leaf as though they were tears. Your negative thoughts grow from others and their comments trip you up, smashing your peace of mind. But winds can always chip, just as choices do. Lighter winds lifting your veil of denial, stopping the sampling, freeing yourself from a lifetime defined by not understanding. Life lessons are the gifts we create, a separate entirement based on the choice of to accept them, see them, and live them as an open heart clears to breathe from the road of our lives. Whether the opinions of others or the doubts we bear, wings carry you on the power of the winds, living life. Life to the fullest, with your God on your mind, within your own prayers, learning from his teachings. Walking through the landscape of your emotions, a positive force, guide to provide the strength to travel through the winds. For listeners who are listening to our show, you're listening to Autistic Poet, RT Meditation, with your Autistic Poet, your autism director and manager, and your host. And today's show was a special dedication in the memory of Hedy Flickstein. And we had Brian Burns share his story, meditation, and also at the end, towards the end, we had John Roswell sharing his story as how he remembered Hedy. So, this is dedication that we, you know, what Hedy had, you know, things that she'd done in her life. So have a wonderful rest of the week and have a good night. And welcome back to Autistic Poets Artist Meditation with Maria. And this is my poem, Nobody Helped Him. The silent shadows, the dark mysteries, hidden stories, bodies deceased, words trapped beneath a blanket over the truth. Sentence from life, lessons not taught, no time, life cut short. Deaf ears, silence, walk past, bondage, can't see. Trapped inside, broken down, gone in life as well as death. Skin disappear, only bones. Sadly, the skeleton over life barely lived. Now retreated, whispering winds, spirit hears the echoing words of a loved one who could not express himself. While alive, some souls cry deeply entwined in a voyage of separation, a name written on stone. Remembrance of a life never to be forgotten, defiled a symbol of love, represents wisdom on the side or the other, and peace can be found. So when Henry Clifton was living, this is the poem that I wrote after her brother passed. Poetic energy, breathe energy, wisdom of the spirit. Poetic energy, breathe energy, wisdom of inspiration, teaching me affirmations resigning within. Poetic energy, breathe energy, wisdom of inspiration, teaching me affirmations resigning within, beyond depth of extreme deep emotion, pours upon my paper, amazing poetry. One mother of many memories. Wrapped inside loving memories, grieving, overwhelming emotions, penetrated the inner core of her soul, listening ear, imagined sounds of a child's cries and laughter, the living waterfall every day, feels the sorrow falling tears in a puddle of pain of a mother's loss. Resigning name, repetitive, sensing divine response. One mother of many memories, wrapped inside loving memories, grieving overwhelming emotions, penetrating the inner core of her soul, listening ear, imagined sounds of her child cries and laughter. The woman waterfall every day feels the sorrow falling tears in a puddle of pain of a mother's loss, reciting name, repetitive, sensing divine possibilities. While heaven responds, child's soul entering his mother, unique deep connection creates a miracle from belief. Fading light captures a beautiful moment, a comforting image seems haunted but real, as she runs to embrace her lost child, and then waits for the next encounter, must remain strong into them. Cries. Soul crying, silent cries stored within my soul, penetrating, the deeply rocking my core. It's hard to keep pushing them down, so I retreat to release a corner of my mind. Soul crying, silent cries stored within my soul, penetrating, deeply rocking my core. It's hard to keep pushing them down, so I retreat for release. A corner of my room becomes a sacrament, a disconnect exists, that he can't, blessings. The darkest moments of emotion travel through the rooms of, in my brain. Stories shift person to person, leaving confusion. Can't focus, time to process, feeling creep within, like a tidal wave of anxiety, sadness, and scared. Gushing feelings through art therapy, yet still silence lost for words, yet hoping for support for my stories. Won't you please help me share my artistic wisdom as mind slips into the darkness of sadness, brain tries to focus, absorb information. Hiding tears in the corners of my room or retreating into my own world, I remain strong. God's blessing, angel gives eternal love, new direction of life. the mystery of his teachings past forever. So sending prayers for Hetty, a light of a candle to light a way, her way. So tune in to a special dedication to Hetty Flickstein and her memory, and I guess Brian Burns share his story, his meditation, and also share a story about how they met and with Princess Wakankama. Then a little while ago, we just had John Rollins. He shared his story, how he met her. And also, we'll have a saying good night.